Welcome back to BSA by Design, a podcast about transforming healthcare educational and research facilities through expert design and insight. I'm your host, Brian Moore. This is the second part of a mini-series looking at BSA as we celebrate the firm's 50-year anniversary. In this episode, I'm joined by two members of BSA's executive leadership team, Kenyon Worrell and Stephanie Peevler, to talk about BSA's unique culture and core values. Kenyon Worrell is the COO of BSA and a principal for the firm. Kenyon graduated from NC State with a Bachelor of Environmental Design and also earned a Bachelor of Architecture degree a few years later. Prior to joining BSA, Kenyon worked for BBH Design, Angerio Design, and Smith Sennett. Kenyon has served as Regional Director of the Raleigh Studio and Director of Architecture before he became the COO in 2023. Stephanie is the CFO of BSA and graduated from the University of Indianapolis with a Bachelor of Science in Accounting. She began her career with BSA in 2007 and has served as Assistant Director of Project Analysis and Control, Assistant Director of Finance, and Director of Finance before becoming CFO in 2018. Welcome to the show. Sam Jackson, Tim Spence, Tim Bashi have been guests on here from the leadership team, but I was finally able to rope you two in. So thanks for joining me.
The fun too.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, of course. I always like to start out by asking people when they join, kind of give me a brief bio, you know, where you went to school, why you got into your respective fields of architecture and accounting.
Sure. Wow. It seems like forever ago. My dad was a healthcare engineer. And so he worked at a small hospital in Jacksonville, North Carolina, down on the coast. And that was kind of my introduction into the AE industry. Also my first introduction into healthcare. I really, for a period of time, actually thought I wanted to be an engineer, and then I learned what an architect really does. So that's what drove me to NC State. I applied to one school. I went to NC State and found my wife, and we've really kind of made a family and a career here in Raleigh for the last 25 years.
So does your dad's background and the fact that you almost wanted to be an engineer lead to the fact that you can relate pretty well to some of our engineers?
It does. It really does. I think I have kind of that weird mindset that I can kind of think out of both sides of my brain. And I also did an internship in college one summer for an engineering firm because I wanted to kind of see what the other side was like and learn, because I knew that's who I was going to be working with.
Stephanie, how about you?
You know, I question anyone that says they want to grow up and be an accountant. But for me, it was more of the sensible route. I'm not a creative. I knew it would be employable. It was the best ignorant decision I ever made because it's worked out really well. So I started in public accounting and actually worked on BSA was one of my first engagements. And that's how I knew about BSA. So once I realized public accounting was not for me, I didn't enjoy just staring at the screen. I wanted a little more human interaction. I did some other things, and similar to Kenyon, ran into my husband and realized we were working together. I realized I needed to find a different job and reached out to BSA. And surprisingly, there was a position open, and that's how I landed here. And I think having something tangible that the company does, like creating buildings, makes accounting a lot more interesting.
Right. You can get behind the mission a little bit more, right?
Right.
So, Kenyon, you joined the firm in 2015 alongside Tim Spence, our CEO, and opened BSA's Raleigh studio. What attracted you to BSA initially, and what stood out to you about the firm?
For me, it was 100% expertise. I had gotten to a point in my career where I'd kind of stopped learning from my peers. I was in a small regional firm and was kind of part of the leadership of that group, and we just weren't being challenged daily. The work with the clients was great. I loved that work, and that was challenging, but I didn't feel like I was still growing, and we didn't really have a strong depth of bench. So Tim and I were looking for somewhere to go together. We wanted to grow more on a national scale, and we found that at BSA. BSA was something that really aligned with us, with our core values, and kind of, for me personally, was intriguing and would help me grow in my career. So BSA kind of offered us an opportunity with a lot of autonomy to grow a regional presence for in North Carolina. and also be supported by a national firm of experts. I mean, I also didn't have to wear all the hats, the IT, the finance, the HR. That was awesome because VSA has a really robust structure, a support structure around that.
So Stephanie, looking back, what key cultural shifts have you witnessed in all that time here?
You know, the culture is what attracted me to BSA to begin with. Even just doing a financial engagement, I could tell how focused on the employees BSA was. And it was just a very fun environment. But I will say, over that course of time, I've seen us go from wearing suits and ties and dresses to jeans every day. It definitely was more what I guess a lot of people refer to as like the good old boys club. You know, now there's women in leadership, and I've seen the transition of inclusivity and getting input from younger staff and the younger generation, I think, has really changed the dynamics of BSA. I mean, we've gone from an industry that was considered kind of like a sweatshop to really fighting a good work-life balance for everybody.
Kenyon, same kind of thoughts. Like, how has your perspective on the firm evolved as you've moved through the roles within the firm, but also now having been here 10 years from architect to leadership?
Yeah, that's a really good one. I've been in firm leadership roles for actually more than 15 years now, even before in my time at BSA.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that people really drive success. And moving more from project leadership to into leading people across the firm, it's more impactful on the work that we do. I feel that empowering our team members and helping them learn and grow in their individual careers is helping them become the best in the industry is really the way that we bring the best solutions to our clients and challenges, and just kind of watching that. I would also say, until recently, even as a leader in the firm, I've always been on the architecture side of the business. I was an architect on projects and then hiring engineers to do the work and collaborating with interior designers. But now in the COO role, I'm responsible for all of our disciplines. So the last couple of years, I've spent a lot of time learning the interworkings of these disciplines. And we talk all the time about how BSA brings a full service team to our clients and providing more collaborative and cohesive solutions. But I think in my role and the way I've kind of seen that grow is I've kind of had a front door perspective into seeing that up close and personal and just working with all of our disciplines together. It's been a lot of fun.
So what was the transition like from director of architecture to COO, and how did BSA support that journey?
Sam Jackson said, I'm moving into the president's role, so here you go. Good luck. On a serious note, it was really the support has come from our executive leadership team. I'm really getting to know that team on a different level and working together as a kind of a cohesive unit. It's just been awesome. Brian, you know, we challenge each other. We help each other. That's probably where the most support has come. And it's I love it every day.
I would agree with that. I mean, just coming in myself almost 2 years ago now, I didn't know what to expect, of course. And you guys just walked me with open arms. And we've all developed our own camaraderie with each other from traveling and stuff like that. So that's a really good point.
Evolved into like a sibling relationship.
Yes.
We call each other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
Stephanie, how has the financial leadership approach evolved along with BSA's growth and development over the years? What are some of the biggest changes that you've sought to infuse as your time as CFO?
The finance team has always tried to be a really strong partner to our principals and our project managers. We really want to take a lot of the administrative burden or looking at the data off of them so they can really focus on the clients and the projects. But I think the biggest change was in 2017 when we became an ESOP. That level of commitment to transparency, I think, really elevated the firm's education just on the business. We try to really explain the why behind the data and help everyone from top to bottom understand what's going on with the firm and how their actions can impact our financial results.
And I mean, just the simple fact, I guess we have to because we're an ESOP, but just the transparency, the level of transparency that we have of here's all of our financial data, this is how we're performing, and this is how you're impacting that. I think it's very interesting to see.
That's the biggest change that I feel, is that it's not, should I share this? It's how do I share this so that they understand? So there's nothing that's really kept private.
Well, I think some of that ties back probably into our core values. And I know our core values are important to us. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time on why. I know you both know them, but I'm going to read them for our listeners so that they can hear them. We are partners. We are purposeful. We are learners. We are owners. And we are ideal team players. So I know a lot of companies have core values, but in your opinions, how do we ensure these core values are more than just words on a page or on a studio wall?
Well, I think it really starts with alignment, especially with our leadership. Core values are, they're not really learned. People either have them, they believe in them, the core values resonate with them, or simply they don't. So, you know, we spend a lot of time evaluating our people, especially through the hiring process. Interviewing at BSA, you know, means that you're going to meet multiple people. You're going to go through several rounds of interviews, and we're going to get different people's perspectives and alignment on our core values. Then it's about living them daily and holding everyone accountable to them.
Yeah, we talk about them all the time. And I think we use them as examples, like when people do something outstanding worth mentioning, or maybe they're having a bad day. And we have to remind them, you're not acting like a partner right now. So I think it's kind of using it in our everyday language, really embeds it in our day-to-day lives.
You both bring up a good point. I know it's part of our quarterly check-ins with our employees. We talk about it in almost every meeting that we have. We hire and fire and promote and elevate people based on it. So I just thought it was important to kind of mention that. Stephanie, have you seen any instances where upholding these values required making financially challenging choices?
You know, people in the AE industry don't always understand the business side of things. And so in my younger days, I would get frustrated a lot more easily, not understanding why they didn't get it. But I think when you are being a partner to people and you're acting like an owner, you have to explain to them what that means. So I feel like acting like an owner is the core value that I'm constantly having to bring up, especially as an ESOP, in reminding people, like, yeah, we have the money, but is that a good way to spend the company funds? And just really educating people instead of, you know, being frustrated that they don't understand what I see, helping them see the bigger picture and the goals that we're trying to achieve.
And I would also add, I think, you know, you were asking about decision making at the leadership level. I think our principals have this choice all the time. We work really hard to align ourselves, our clients, and our core values, all three of those. Right. It's not just about our people, but also we have clients approach us that aren't maybe right clients for us, and we're not going to serve them as well. And so our principals are making that decision daily.
Yeah, I've heard us talk about that. Is this a client that's going to beat our people up and make it not a fun experience to work on their project? And it can go the other way too, right? Like, this is a perfect client. We want to keep working with them because they align so well with us, but that's definitely part of the process.
I think it was surprising to our staff when we have made that decision before. Our staff were not happy with how they were being treated, and it was a fairly profitable client, but we don't put that profit ahead of our employees' well-being. And so we made the tough decision to not continue working with that client.
And that kind of leads into my question for Kenyon. How do BSA's values influence your approach to operations and management? I think Stephanie's kind of mentioned just one, but are there others?
Absolutely. I think, like Stephanie said, we put our people first. We're a people-driven business. Our core value alignment is kind of driving that success. And we want people that are going to work hard and play hard. And so there's a balance there. There's a balance in doing all the work and also having fun. But we make people-driven decisions.
Well, let's shift and talk a little bit about culture, specifically creating it and maintaining it. What formal and informal practices do we have that kind of help reinforce the culture at BSA? Kenny, I'll start with you.
Sure. Culture is everything. Brian, you probably know this. A lot of our listeners probably know this. It's across the industry, the number one reason why people either leave a job or take a new job always comes back to people, the people that they work with. And so we spend a lot of, you know, the other piece is culture is hard to define. It's an always changing thing. As part of our leadership development program, actually, Stephanie and I lead this session together. It's on firm culture. And during that session, we talk a lot about the book Culture Code. And we really subscribe to a lot of the same trains of thought in that book. I'll give you a couple of examples. One is about creating a sense of belonging in our studios. We really feel like that those are groups of people, and they're all different in some ways, but they're also aligned in the sense that they align with our core values and the activities and the events and all the different things that we do. It's either on projects or within teams or actually out in the community or all over, but they're creating that sense of belonging. Another example is just our open communication. Like we were saying earlier, we're really transparent with information across the firm. We have what we call is an executive leadership team forum, where anybody in the company can sign up for a chat with our executive leadership team, and like really anything goes. That's kind of a one-on-one. We also have our leadership team visits every studio twice a year. I mean, kind of a formal meeting setting where we have studio forums and time with our regional leadership teams to kind of get to know what's going on across the firm. And then we also get together socially in kind of a happy hour setting. We go and have some kind of fun event. I mean, it gives us a chance to get to know everybody on a personal level and know what's going on in their family and all of those things.
I think work is hard, or it wouldn't be called work. And I think we all have to work hard, play hard. And I personally believe life is too short to be serious all the time. So we have to find ways to make it fun, as you know, we're all doing this together. And I do think one of the biggest contributors to our culture are those fun events that we have with the studios when we're traveling, and really just everybody's guard is down. They're not focused on the next fire they need to put out. And you really start to develop good relationships with everybody across the firm.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think I look forward to the most when we travel, is that whole day, essentially. We've got time with the whole studio. And I think you described it to somebody the other day, Stephanie, of like, all right, we're here. Take your shots. You know, like, tell us what's working, what's not working. And then when we meet with the leadership of that studio, then we have a chance to kind of break those things down and try to actually solve those issues. And then, so we've been doing that all day. And then we flip and it's like, okay, throw all that out the window. Let's just go kind of have fun and unwind a little bit and talk. And that's always one of my favorite things. For sure.
Yeah, I do think that connectivity to the studios on solving issues is also critical. There wouldn't be an avenue for that, I feel like, if we weren't being present face to face in those studios, and it allows BSA to continue to level up.
And I don't want to speak for the two of you, but I never want it to be like we're sitting in the ivory tower and never see us. We're like the Wizard of Oz or something, you know.
I think it comes down to trust and openness, and I think a little bit of vulnerability. And we don't always have all the answers, but we're going to listen and work through it together and figure out where we go. And that's part of building the culture.
How do you both think the culture has remained resilient at BSA through industry changes and economic cycles and politics and growth and all these different things?
It's been tough. I think the culture everywhere, when those major changes have happened in the world, you do take a hit. There's a lot of differing opinions. And I think it's how we responded to that. And I think it's how you try to build it back up. And it's really hard. And so I think that a lot of companies that may not put the effort or focus into that, or maybe the ones that couldn't rebound, I think it's just our unwavering commitment to wanting it to be a place where people want to come and work. But those are the times when we're tried and tested, because it can be very difficult. You just have to approach things level-headed and keep doing the things that were right to begin with. I think there's a lot of distractions out in the world, and you just have to stay very centered and focused.
Yeah, there's a lot of squirrels, right?
Yeah, a ton of squirrels.
Yeah. Stephanie hit more of the economic cycle in the more challenging times. I'll talk about more the growth periods, because we've also been fortunate enough to have some periods of growth and in different regions across the country. I would say during these times, even when we're growing, we're trying to grow at a pace that makes sense. And so we're not just hiring as much as we can to support the work that's coming in. And we hire as fast as we can to find the best talent, but also to find alignment with our culture and our core values. So we kind of give those teams some time to assimilate with each other and really kind of get in sync. We found that if we hire too many people too fast, that it's not a good thing all around. So we work on this, use this concept called One BSA, and we do this all the time, really, across the firm. We pull in national experts, to partner with local leaders, and to deliver our work. And that, going back to the expertise theme that I shared earlier. It's, again, we do this all the time and across all of our disciplines, and allows us to grow at a pace, you know, to manage that growth and really find the right people so that we're 100% aligned and being able to get acquainted and grow a studio kind of more on the marathon pace and the long practice building type of growth, not just hiring and letting people go from a project workload standpoint. Because in this industry, it's up and down, back and forth, and we're more about the long game.
Stephanie, what traditions or practices have been most important in preserving BSA's culture, or has it evolved in the time that you've been here?
It's evolved a little bit. I will say it's always been strong. So, you know, in BSA's original days or initial days, we were just Indianapolis, and we had a large group of shareholders, and every summer we would have a shareholder cookout. Shareholders cooked for all the employees. Indianapolis has somewhat held up the tradition of always having kind of an event in the summer where we go outside and play games and have a meal together. That's really fun. And I think that just speaks to that thread of having fun, you know, at work. It's continued on. And I think every studio has evolved with their own sense of culture. We love to see them do something together in the summertime. We also love to see them, you know, celebrate the holidays. It's a nice way to end the year, all the hard work that everybody's put in. So I think a lot of that has been really consistent over the years, is celebrating a lot of the work that we do. I mean, the architects and engineers do a lot of amazing things and create a lot of amazing buildings. We don't want to lose sight of that, and I think do a fairly good job of celebrating it.
There's a lot of work that happens. We just focused on like the large projects and the select pursuits and all that, but there's so many non-competitive wins that come through. Are there any new cultural elements that you guys think BSA needs to embrace to remain innovative as we move forward?
Sorry. Like one thing, all of our studios, we kind of have a group of people that are called various things, but they'll call it like a fun committee. And I think it's including the younger staff in that. The generational differences are real. And we need to evolve as the makeup of our staff changes. So I think nobody knows what the future holds, but just always including, whether it be generational, our disciplines, where people are located, we always try to have a good mix of people that are helping come up with some of the things that we do and the directions that we go.
Are there any aspects of our culture that you guys find to be non-negotiable and will be preserved regardless of future changes?
Absolutely. I think empowering everyone's voice around the firm, not just our leaders' voices, but really truly everyone's voice around the firm is, I think it's something that it does differentiate us in the industry. I think it's something that provides some equity around the firm, and we have younger members on our board. We have different people speaking up with new ideas. We can definitely learn across generations. We can learn across levels of experience, and it really helps make us deeper and richer as a firm. It helps us solve our clients' problems, our challenges better within our project work, and it also helps us kind of evolve and helps younger people grow quickly than the average firm, I would say. And I think it just makes us more well-rounded and whole.
My non-negotiable is kind of, I would say, broadly honesty. I think it's really hard to be honest in a business sense when people don't always want to admit what their weaknesses are. Sometimes they don't want to admit what their strengths are. And I think if they're honest about it, everybody works together to help each other grow and learn. So even when there's tough things that happen, I think being open and honest about those things, whether it's the development of someone or something around the business, honesty always is the best policy.
Yeah, it reminds me of a story I heard during the NFL draft. I can't remember who it was, but one of the players was picked in the first like 10 picks.
So GM.
Right. Yeah. That's Jordan. But one of the GMs said this guy came in and they were asking him about his weaknesses, and he just started listing things off. And they were like, wow, you're listing a lot of weaknesses. And he was like, I'm just being honest. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't played it down in the NFL yet, so I got a lot to learn. And anybody who comes in here and tells you that they don't have any are lying to you. So
absolutely.
I thought that tied in nicely with what you said, Stephanie, about
the I mean, one of our core values is being hungry, humble, and smart. And I think it's that humble piece of being confident, but not arrogant. I think that really plays into that honesty piece in our core values.
Well, let's wrap up by looking at the firm's next 50 years, which we will all three not be around for, I'm sure. What do you hope people say about BSA's culture when the firm celebrates its 100th anniversary?
Wow, that's a loaded question, Brian. Who knows what we're going to be saying? I would say, I guess I want everyone to say they're in the right place and that really fits themselves. You know, I want everybody to be happy and truly loving every day. I want them to, that when someone's in the right role, they're in the right environment, they're successful individually, in turn, that success makes the people around them, their team successful, and it ripples across the studio and really across the whole firm. And when we have a full firm of happy people and they're loving what they do every day, we're going to really serve our clients well and just have fun doing it.
I hope BSA is making a bigger mark on the world. I think sometimes architects are so close to it, they almost take it for granted. But the things that they're able to do that make our lives a better place, I'd love to just, you know, when people hear BSA, they think, yeah, they do awesome work for our community. And as long as that's the case, I think people will enjoy working at BSA.
Kind of living out the mission statement of creating inspired solutions that improve lives, right?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining me. This is great. I'm so glad I finally got to have both of you on the show.
I'd like to thank Kenyon and Stephanie again for joining me on this episode of BSA by Design. You can connect with them on LinkedIn. If you want to learn more about BSA, we encourage you to visit our website at bsalifestructures.com. There's a link in the show notes to contact us for more information. Be sure to subscribe to BSA by Design on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube Music so you don't miss an episode. We've got more content and project stories to share on social media, so be sure to follow us on LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and X. That's going to do it for this episode. Join us again next time on BSA by Design.